Good morning yet again, and welcome to another virtual service in the name of Jesus Christ. We continue our celebration of Easter this week, and so looking forward to hearing about what his resurrection means for us and how that all wraps up into the text that we will hear today. Like I said, we are back to recording things as normal, and so we will begin today by praying together Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day. For all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading comes from Acts chapter 17. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now, all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind, to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is not actually far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness, by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all, by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today in our catechism reading, we focus on the fifth petition. What is the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer? "And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. The epistle comes from 1 Peter chapter 3. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. At this time, we confess our God-given faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when you really want to show someone how much you love them, you should completely ignore them and everything they say. In fact, if you could figure out a way to do exactly the opposite of what they say, then that would be even better. At the very least, you need to make sure to spend as little time with them as humanly possible. Right? Well, of course not. That's absolutely absurd. Even a child knows that what I have described is the opposite of love. And so, in our text for today, we have these words from Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read these words from our text for today, I thought to myself, I don't think I'm doing so good at loving Jesus. I don't really think I like these words from Jesus. Not because his message is wrong, but honestly, it looks a whole lot like Jesus is telling us, you cannot love me. Which, in fact, is true. We cannot. You see, Jesus gives this command at the beginning that our love for him will be evidenced by the fact that we keep his commandments. This includes both those the Ten Commandments that you get from the Old Testament, right? The moral law, as we call it, but it also includes all of Jesus' commands that he tracks through the entirety of the New Testament. And I think about things like the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus talks about things like prayer and fasting and how we should deal with anxiety and murder and adultery and all the rest of the things that he taught throughout his earthly ministry. To say the bar is set pretty high would be an understatement. I mean, honestly, the bar is set so high that we can't even see how high we would have to jump in order to get over it. So Jesus' words truly are harsh for us. They really are. Because you cannot love him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the sad truth is that really our lack of love, our lack of keeping what Jesus has said, it really kind of plays itself out as we love everything except for Jesus. Instead, we love ourselves and we love our time and we love our pride and we love our comfort and we love our honor and we love our money. We love our sexual desires. We love our stuff. The truth is that you, me, we love ourselves. And we certainly love ourselves more than we love Jesus. Of course, if you don't believe me, you could just prove me wrong. Never break another commandment ever again. Try as you might, I know you will fail. And so does Jesus. Jesus knows your sins all too well. He knows how curved in on yourself that you truly are. He knows that you cannot keep his commandments, not perfectly. He knows that you cannot love him the way that you ought to love him. Which is why Jesus doesn't stop preaching at the end of verse 15. Instead, he continues, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you, or he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus declares that he will give you a helper. A helper whom we find out is the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Jesus calls him the Spirit of truth. And why would he be called the Spirit of truth? Well, because that's his job. The Holy Spirit's job is to deliver the truth to you. The truth that is found, yes, in God's word, in the scriptures. The truth that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the very Son of God, that he is the Lord himself. The truth that this Jesus comes to forgive all of your sins. You know, it was in verse 6 of chapter 14, the very same chapter where our text comes from, that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That he himself is truth. And so if the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and if Jesus himself is the truth, then the Holy Spirit's job is to literally connect us to Jesus Christ. To connect you to Jesus' righteousness and his innocence and his blessedness, and to make them all yours. And the way he does that is through hearing. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit. He sends his helper. He sends his word to come to you to be your help. Because without intervention, God knows you are lost. Without having this spirit of holiness within you, you literally will never, ever have the ability to love Jesus. And you won't care about keeping his commandments. So our lack of love, and indeed really kind of the opposite, it's our self-love and our selfishness and our hostility toward God, that comes from our sin is overcome by the Spirit of truth. The Spirit that has spoken Jesus into your ears. The Spirit who tells you about Jesus, who sheds his blood and dies for you. The truth that the Holy Spirit shares is the truth of Jesus' resurrection, that he came back to life after 3 days in the grave, and the truth that Jesus himself shares in our text is that because I live, you also will live. Now, we certainly have a helper in Jesus. We know that to be true. We see everything he does for us. He dies on the cross. We see how he sheds his blood. We have plenty of depictions of that in different artwork of the church and things of that nature. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit kind of remains this silent person of the Trinity. Silent because he is unseen. Silent because he doesn't have a human form. But it doesn't mean that he's not there. The truth is that everywhere the word of God is proclaimed, everywhere Jesus crucified and risen comes into someone's ears, the Holy Spirit is there to drive that event, to make sure it happens the way the Lord planned. Jesus sends us another helper, not just himself, whom we can understand with our eyes, but he sends us this helper of the Holy Spirit who is invisible to us. But he's a helper who will be our forever lifeline. Our lifeline to Jesus. Our lifeline to what Jesus has done. And our help, who will empower us to keep Jesus' words and his commandments. My friends, what started out as bad news at the beginning of this sermon, bad news at the beginning of this text, that if you want to show your love for Christ, you have to keep his commandments. It's been turned upside down. It's been changed entirely. Because now you have help. Honestly, you've had help the entire time. But the Holy Spirit is the one who helps you to love Jesus. And you can. As you live in faith, as you live keeping Jesus' words, as you live not kind of putting God's name off, but gladly hearing the preaching of God's word and gladly opening the Bible to hear from what God has to say, you're being helped. You're keeping God's word. You're keeping Jesus' commandments by repentance, by forgiveness, and by a promise of everlasting life that comes only from the Holy Spirit. Do you see how important this helper really is? The Holy Spirit brings Jesus to you through the word. Jesus' love, as well as the Father's love, is dripping for you from the pages of Scripture. The Holy Spirit takes God's word and he does miraculous things with it too. It's not just words that are confined inside of a book, but as these words come out of a pastor's mouth and they get combined with something as simple as bread and wine, this Holy Spirit then causes these two things to come together to become the very body and blood of Jesus. That way you can be in the presence of him. That way he can be on your lips. And what else does this helper do? But he takes something as simple as God's word and water, and he combines these two things together, and he makes it a means for you to enter into God's family. He makes it a means for you to enter under this umbrella of God's love and care as one of his people. The Holy Spirit does wonderful things, and honestly, without him, we would be totally lost. Without him, we're totally condemned. Without him, we have no love for our Savior. So my challenge for you today, the Scripture's challenge for you today, is to get some help. Get some help from the Holy Spirit. Be sure to open your Bibles and hear from the Lord. Because without it, we're left to fend for ourselves. And quite honestly, the world is a pretty scary place right now. We need the hope that this Spirit of truth delivers to us, especially through those promises of Jesus' life and life after death. That is exactly what the Helper promises you today. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the faithful proclamation of Jesus Christ to those who do not know him, that through hearing the word of the Lord, many may be brought to faith and to the knowledge of the truth. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church of God here and everywhere, that all who confess Jesus Christ may be united in doctrine and witness, defended against all the assaults of the enemy, and eager to gather together around your word and sacrament in love for one another. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this parish, for the work of the kingdom in our community, and for the resources to accomplish all that God desires, that his name may be glorified among us, and his purpose fulfilled in our words and works. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the agencies and institutions through which we love our neighbor and provide for those in need, for the destitute and homeless, and for everyone who suffers unemployment and underemployment, that we may aid them in their needs and assist them to find honorable labor to supply all their needs. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the lonely who suffer the burdens of life without friendship or family, for those depressed or weary of pandemic measures, and for the fellowship of the church, that we may bear one another's burdens and live in community with Christ as our head. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and those who suffer, that God would grant healing to their bodies, peace for their minds, and consolation in their grief and sorrows. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For love of godly things, that we may delight in God's word and walk in his ways, and for the Spirit, that we may be led into all truth and kept from error and false doctrine. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the nation, for those who lead our nation, for the end of the pandemic, for peace among nations, and for an end to terror and violence, that we may work for the common good, so that justice may prevail, life be protected, and truth abound. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Lord our God, as we recall the obedient life and life-giving death of your Son for our salvation, we pray you to strengthen our faith and to make our hearts bold, that we may not fear, but address our prayers to you in all humility. Hear us on behalf of Jesus Christ,
our great High Priest, who even now stands before you on our behalf, pleading our cause with his own blood, until that day when we are delivered from the changes and chances of this mortal life and stand before you in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, give us grace to trust you during this time of illness and distress. In mercy, put an end to the epidemic that afflicts us. Grant relief to those who suffer, and comfort all that mourn. Sustain all medical personnel in their labors, and cause your people ever to serve you in righteousness and holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Thank you. Well, I pray the service has been a blessing for you today. We're halfway through May, and so I am optimistically looking forward to being together with you again here very soon. So continue to lift up your prayers to God and recognize He still has control over this situation, and we will definitely rejoice in that. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Again, we have one last thing to do for our service today. And so if you'll look at your monthly Bible verse, which is at the end of your service document there, our monthly Bible verse for May comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. God's blessings.